It's good to see you all here tonight on a Saturday night. I am persuaded that there are some people in this world tonight that are not going to return to their homes because they went to the wrong place at the wrong time. I hope this works tonight. Just stick it in my pocket. Just shove it right down there where that cord reach out. Okay. Part, not the antenna. I got to have a tail, right? So the idea? Okay. It'll work. If you don't hear, I believe you're all going to hear me tonight. You might not get a repeat.
I don't think it has a battery.
But we're not even worried about it. This is all fake stuff, see? I'm afraid they're going to make one of these things that's going to get a little electric jolts, and the guy sitting back there don't like to preach it. He's just going to push the button back there and jolt me. How many here tonight have never heard me preach before? Would you raise your hand? We got Brother Bob and a couple others. Well, good. I'm glad somebody's going to hear this sermon for the first time. I'm glad to hear that. How many are here tonight but weren't here last night? Okay, well, the same crowd, right? Basically. So we're glad. I am glad you're here. It just, like I said last night, it's just a joy to be able to preach to people. Of course, I'd like to say it'd be a greater joy if we'd fill these seats up here instead of all them seats back there. I mean, I don't know why it is. Brother Jackson, what are you doing sitting in the back row, see? Yeah, you got a baby to go. I understand. Everybody's got their reasons, don't they? No, it is a real joy to be here. I count it a privilege. I'm still burdened. I really am. I enjoy preaching. I think God's called me to preach. I think that's a gift. Amen. Now I like, that's what I call action. Hey, man, I like that. We got any other brave souls that want to come up here? You know, they call that front row the place where you get that holy saliva, see? That's a real blessing. I mean, you get, if you hadn't been baptized, you might get sprinkled tonight, you know. We covered the bases. No, it is a blessing to be here, but as I was saying, I love to preach the gospel. I think it's a privilege that God has granted me, and what an opportunity I've had to preach the gospel here in San Antonio, in Mexico for a number of years, in Poland, and in Hungary, and Romania, even Germany. What an opportunity I've had. What a blessing that God has given me. But I come here where I feel so at home, and I used to know so many people. I don't know hardly anybody anymore, just these old-timers. Been around for a long time. I'm not going to mention the old-timers on this side over here, but I just have a burden, brethren. I really do. I want to be a blessing to you, and I want to see this church grow and be used of God. And so I'd ask you to continue to pray for me as I preach. You know, we pray for revival, but just a tremendous burden I just feel that I have. If we'll open your Bibles to Romans in chapter 8. I'm going to begin reading it, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. Amen. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I come before You once again as Your servant. Lord, I come before You not even knowing how to pray. But Lord, I just tell You how I feel. I just want to be a blessing. God, I want to be used of You. Lord, I want to see this church reap eternal benefits. Lord, I want to see these brothers and these sisters reap every crown. Lord, every blessing You have, Lord, I don't want to see them lose out on any blessing. And oh God, I'm afraid of my own pride, my own flesh. Lord, I'm afraid of the devil. Oh God, I pray You not let the devil have the victory. I pray that You not allow the flesh to expose itself here tonight. I pray that Your Spirit would guide and bless. I pray there be a lost soul in the sound of my voice, that lost soul would come to know Christ. I pray for every brother and sister that is discouraged, that carry burdens. I pray You'd lift them. And Lord, I pray You'd give us a real, lasting revival. And I ask it now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. The Bible says here there's a phrase that caught my mind some years ago. I was down in Mexico preaching the gospel, and some of you know me. I'm pretty straightforward when I preach. I'm just a little bit hard. My wife says I ought to smile more when I preach, you know. I'm just that's the way I am. And I used to preach real hard, and some of you think I still preach hard. But there was a day in Mexico when a verse got a hold of me, and this is one of the verses, this is the message tonight, that God dealt with me. He said, in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. When I was a little boy, I went to a Lutheran church. And I was told that I had to do certain things to get to heaven, and I won't go into everything that they taught me then, but one of the things we did in the catechism class, we were exposed to different faiths, different religions, and this Lutheran preacher, or this Lutheran minister, began preaching what he said, this is what a hellfire and damnation preacher was. And you know what? I really like that. I mean, you know, I like that type of preaching, you know, I just like hard preaching. When it's, you know, obviously when it's pointed at somebody else, you know. But when it's to me, well, sometimes that's a different story. And so I went to Mexico, and, you know, I preached some pretty hard sermons. We can get Mike Jackson back here. I'm sure he'll stand and testify that I preached some pretty hard sermons. I think if you go through some of them tapes back there, I probably preached some pretty hard sermons. I probably crossed the line a few times and gotten into some places that I shouldn't have been. Maybe I've offended some of you. Gone just a little bit too hard and not enough compassion. An old preacher said a long time ago that, you know, I take to heart now, you know, it's better to give just a little bit too much grace than a little bit too much condemnation. But here we have a promise. And God said here, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. And before I begin this message tonight, I'd like to say, first of all, what this verse doesn't say. You see, we like to take hold of the promises of God, but I'm afraid that sometimes we've gotten ourselves to be accustomed to read into verses that which is not there. Some people like to read this verse and say there is therefore now no condemnation, period. But that's not what the verse says, you see. The Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, you see. And that therefore implies those that are not in Christ Jesus are already condemned, you see. And before I begin the message, I would like to say tonight, there's a little multitude of people, multitudes without number, that are already condemned because they're not in Christ Jesus. Look, if you will, in John, how many people have their Bibles tonight? Let's see them. I want to see them Bibles. Everybody got a Bible? Don't come to church without your Bible.
Amen.
And when I say Bible, I'm talking about the authorized King James Version of the Bible. See? I'm talking about what God has used in America to proclaim His Word and His Gospel. God has blessed this Bible.
See, amen.
And used this Bible. And I don't think we have a right to change God's standard.
Amen.
This is the American standard, see.
Amen.
It's not that other thing out there they call the American. This is the standard of America. This is what this country was built on, see. Some of you are saved, most of you, if not all of you are saved because of this book.
Amen.
And that young lady, Gwen Higgins, who's in heaven now, thank God for that. As a 16-year-old girl, she took out a King James Bible out of her purse and it opened up, and they say, you know, young people can't understand the King James. I understood it. Hey, I had hair down to my back. I wasn't supposed to understand it. I was what they called a hippie, but I understood it. You couldn't, hey. Now I'm telling you, you get long hair, young people, your hair is going to fall out. That's why you ought not to be a hippie, see? Your hair is going to fall out. Well, actually, I'll tell you why my hair fell out. See, we used to have a song leader around here, Brother Jim Campbell. Nice to make fun of him. He said, your day's coming. Your day's coming. I'd give that old guy a hard time about his bald head, and he said, that's all right. It's all right. Just watch out for them bears, see? Just watch out for them bears. You'll catch that about... Some of you guys know the Bible, you're going to catch that. You ought to read your Bible sometime. But she took out a King James Bible and told me how to be saved. I think one of the greatest men that have worked with young people has to be, if not the greatest, Lester Roloff. Huh? Young people don't understand the King James Bible. Lester Roloff used nothing but the King James Bible, see?
Amen.
What is this that nobody can understand it? Hey, be careful. So when I say bring your Bibles to church, how many read your Bibles today? Hello. Oh yeah, we're preaching about no condemnation, and I've got to get off that subject. But I'd like to say the Bible does say that some people, many people, multitudes of people are condemned already. And so we're going to open up the Bible tonight and go to many verses. So turn with me, if you will, in John chapter 3. We're going to jump over John chapter 3 and verse 16. And we're going to jump down to verse 18 and read the Word of God. Here's what my Bible says. Here's what the Word of God says. Read with me. He that believeth on Him is not condemned. Thank God for that. But he that believeth not is condemned already because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Does your Bible read that away? Is God a liar? God said that there are people condemned already. And yet we have there's a whole nation of people over in Poland that would stand up and say, well, nobody knows. Nobody knows who's condemned and who's not condemned. You can't know that. Well, obviously, if you never read the Bible, you can't know it. But if you open up the Word of God, God has already said some things in the Word of God, and you can know who's going to heaven and who's not going to heaven. People say, well, how can you know that? Don't you know, if you go out and kill somebody, don't you know you're condemned already? Does a murderer have to wait until the judge comes and stands down the gravel and said, you're guilty? Doesn't he already know he's condemned? He just hiding out hoping he don't get caught, but he knows he's condemned already. That's why when he sees a policeman walking down the road, he's going the other way. Because he knows he's condemned already. And I'd like to quickly tonight show you in the Word of God how God has condemned men already. He says right here, because they believe not on Him. Look down at verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. And what a blessed promise that is. He doesn't say he might, maybe, perhaps, if he hopes hard enough that he might get it. He says he has eternal life. Somebody says you can't have eternal life. Did you know there's a man that calls himself the head of the church? He's from Poland. He's in the Vatican City right now. He has made declared, well, at least signed his name to it. He said nobody can have eternal life right now. Did you hear what I said? Signed his name to it, said nobody can have eternal life. Now, Jesus said you can have eternal life.
Amen.
He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Some of you wonder, why do you get so excited? Well, I get excited because I've already read the book, and God said he's mad at you if you haven't believed on the Son. Now, I've read some things where God got mad. My children don't like it when I get mad. My wife doesn't like it when I get mad. And I really don't get mad. I mean, in comparison to God. When God gets mad, fire comes out of heaven. Huh? When God gets mad, you all had a flood here in San Antonio here recently, right? You think that was a lot of water? You should have seen the flood when God got mad back in Noah's day, see? God looked down upon man, he saw the sinfulness of man. He says, I repent myself that I made man, I'm finished with him. And thank God Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, otherwise you and I wouldn't be here. But I like to say tonight that our Bible declares that there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And that we need to be careful in how we read our Bibles and not to misunderstand, therefore there is no condemnation. There is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And if you're not in Christ Jesus, you're condemned. And when God rained down the floods in Noah's day, the only people that were saved were those that were in the ark. Everyone else outside of the ark was condemned in the overflow, my Bible says. So, it's very important where you are at. If you are in the flesh, you're condemned. If you are in Christ, you're not condemned. And so we see, look in Romans in chapter 5 quickly. Romans in chapter 5, the Apostle Paul, Saint Paul, says in Romans in chapter 5, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he says down in verse 12, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I'm not going to read the whole chapter, we'll jump down to verse 18. He says, therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. Do you understand what he's saying here? You read this chapter and God says that he condemned all men in Adam. You say, well, I don't think that's fair. Well, how can that be? Well, I don't understand. Well, maybe you don't. But I know the proof of it. All men die.
Amen.
All men die. You're going to die. You don't like to think about it. I don't like to think about it. But mark it down. You're going to die. I'm not going to argue the point. God said it's true. Must be true. God cannot lie. And who are you to argue with God? If God said it, God condemned all men in Adam. You say, well, I think different. You're allowed to think any way you want, but you're still going to die. You can have your opinion. You can opinionate until your dying day. But God said He decided to condemn all men in Adam. That's what it says. That's how I know people are condemned already. Did you know that when you were born in Adam? You're a son of Adam. Did you know we're all related? You didn't know that, did you? Huh? Some of you have black hair, some of you had red hair, some of you got blue eyes, some of you got green eyes, some of you speak Spanish, some of you speak Polish, a little bit anyway. But hey, we're all related, we all have the same father. And so I had no idea where this racism comes from. I don't understand, we're all related. I'm over in Poland, you can't find a black man in Poland. I mean, it's just very difficult. Sometimes they'll come over from Africa into the capital and do business and then fly home. But they got these skinheads running around say, hey, I hate black men. Have you ever seen a black man? No. I don't understand. How can you hate black men if you never seen them? I don't understand. We're all related. But by my Bible says that we were condemned already in Adam. Before you was ever born, you were already condemned. Yeah, but that's not fair. Doesn't matter. That's what God said. Look back in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. The next verse, the 19. We read 18, now we'll read 19. He that believeth not is condemned already because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation that light came into the world and men loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. My Bible says tonight you're condemned because your deeds are evil. Now I could argue from a theological point and say the reason that your deeds are evil is because you're a son of Adam. But let's just take it from here. Your deeds are evil. You think you're good, but you're not. There's none good. No, not one. Hey, has you ever noticed how this world just loves darkness? They don't like light. More adultery is committed in darkness than in light. More murders are committed at nighttime than in the daytime. Huh? The deeds that you do, the evil that you've done, you mark it down, you've done it in darkness. And the reason people do not like going to church is because, especially where somebody's preaching the truth, is because they do not want to be exposed for what they are. They don't like, people just don't like being told how they are and what they are and how they stand before God. I preached at a little church over here just a while back, and I got done preaching, and some of these old timers, that's the guys with the gray hair and with no hair, were, yeah, like me, older than I am, and they were walking out the back door and they said, we ain't heard preaching like that in a long time. They just don't preach on hell around here no more. How can that be? How can that be? I think we ought to take Mrs. De Los Santos over there and let her go at them. Boy, I tell you what, she invited us over for some tacos. I said, oh boy, we got her going. Boy, she knows a good preacher when she sees one. She's, hey man, that man said there wasn't no hell. I know there's hell because I saw it in my Bible. See? No, that's, I can't get around her house. See, that was a lot of fun. That gets me stirred up. But your deeds are evil. You know, we have a saying, you got to pay the piper. Why is it this generation thinks they can do wrong and then get away with it? Where'd that come from? Who brought that idea up? And some of you parents are responsible, see? Because you did not teach your children that when they did wrong, they got to pay the piper. Now, I know Santa Claus already went back to the North Pole, but I'm going to pick on him here for a little minute. That idea of Santa Claus brought that in too, see? Now, if you're naughty, you're not going to get a present. And they were naughty on January 1st. They were naughty on January 2nd. I know I have four kids myself. I know how it is. They're naughty on January 3rd. The only time they weren't naughty was on leap year, you know. But at the end of the year, what happened? You told them all, some of you told them all year long, now if you're naughty, Santa Claus is not going to bring you a present. And then all year long, hey, quit being naughty. Why are you naughty? Why are you doing that? Hey, why are you being naughty? And then what happened? At the end of the year, they get all these beautiful presents. It says, from Santa with love. Now, what does that instill in a child? Hello. I said, hello. Are you there? And so, I'm no condemnation. I'm sorry. In Christ Jesus. You got to pay the piper. My Bible says the wage of sin is death. Doesn't the Bible say somewhere, whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap? Huh? Who are we to think that we can outdo God and change God's order? He said, if you sow, you're going to reap what you sow. Said somewhere about reaping a whirlwind, didn't it? Somewhere in the Bible. Look over in Matthew in chapter 12. Sometimes you will never understand the mercy of God until we understand the justice of God or the righteousness of God. My Bible says you are condemned already because you are a son of Adam, and you're condemned because your deeds are evil. It also says Jesus Christ here speaking in Matthew in chapter 12 and verse 36. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give an account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned. Did you know that God is marking down your words? Hello. God is marking down your words. That means every dirty joke. That means every curse word in frustration. He said every idle word, every word. You got mad at the wife? Said some things you shouldn't have said? They're written down. They're recorded. Somebody's recording me right now. God's recording me right now. It makes me tremble sometimes when I think about as much preaching as I do, much talking as I do. And some of you ladies on that phone all the time talk. And you know what? And some of you men too. Talk. No, they got a new operation for the men. See, they do it by the chat, see, on the internet, see. But it's all recorded. It's all recorded. And he says, this is Jesus speaking. You believe in Jesus, don't you? Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, said, by thy words thou shalt be condemned. And some of you have declared openly, well, I think that in order to go to heaven, that you have to love God with all your mind and all your heart and all your soul. Do you? Your words are going to come back and haunt you. Well, I think in order to go to heaven that you've got to go to church on Sundays. Do you? Do you? Well, I think in order to go to heaven, I have to belong to this church or to that church or to this religion or to that religion. Do you? Well, I think that if you don't confess to a priest, your sins can't be taken away. Do you? Well, I think that you have to be baptized in a certain manner. Were you? Well, I think that you have to keep all the law of God. Do you? Well, I think that we, in order to go to heaven and to be saved, that we have to do what Jesus said to do. Do you? By thy words thou shalt be condemned. You see, I don't have to condemn you. And this is what I learned in Mexico a long time ago, because you're already condemned. Amen. I'm just going to sit around and listen to yourself speak sometime, and you condemn yourself. Romans in chapter 2, quickly. In verse 1, he says, therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest, for wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. Hello, mom and dad. Now don't you smoke, little one. I don't want you smoking. You shouldn't smoke now. You shouldn't smoke. Huh? And then when you caught the little rat smoking in the back room, what'd you do to him? You give him a good whooping. You don't think God's gonna whoop you? Now I don't want you drinking. You see, drinking's dangerous. You shouldn't drink. Don't drink and drive. And what were you doing Christmas Eve? Hello. Yeah. Now, up in Amarillo, they say, park there a while, preacher. Park there a while. Or they say, back up and say that again, you know. Titus in chapter 3. Has these things hit the shores of America? I'm sure it has probably originated here. Well, I just believe that whatever you want to believe is good enough as long as you're sincere. Doctrine doesn't really matter, that we should just have love. Let's just love everybody. But notice what the Bible says in Titus in chapter 3, down in verse 10, a man that is an heretic, that's a man that teaches false doctrine, a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject, knowing he that is such is subverted and sinneth, being condemned of himself. Some of you delight in false doctrine and rejoice not in the truth. And that's true. That's love, brethren. My Bible says that charity rejoices in truth. Amen. And yet we have a generation, a whole nation of people all across the world even. We got people that do not delight in truth anymore. They seek after teachers having itching ears, see. They're looking for somebody that will pat them on the back even when they do wrong. And he says, being condemned of himself. Why? Because he's got false doctrine. Why do you preach against religion? Because false doctrine brings condemnation. Amen. He said they were condemned because of unbelief. Look over in the Gospel of Mark in chapter 16. Look down about verse 6. Well, how can I read this chapter without reading verse 15? Jesus said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Condemned already because they have not believed on the name of the only begotten Son of God. Condemned already because they have not believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm telling you tonight that because you were born in Adam, because your father's name is Adam, God has chosen to condemn you. I'm telling you tonight that because your works are evil before a holy and righteous God, God has declared you unrighteous and has condemned you. Amen. That because you have opened your mouth wide and proclaimed what you have to do in order to get to heaven and do not do it, God is holding you to your word and you have condemned yourself. I'm telling you tonight because some of you have trodden on the blood of Christ and walked over that sacrifice that He gave for you and refused to believe on His holy name and trust in Christ alone when God in heaven was satisfied with His sacrifice, God has condemned you and damned you to an everlasting hell. Dost thou not fear God, seeing thou art in the same condemnation, said one of the malefactors on the cross. And I'm afraid we have a problem in our generation today. Nobody fears God. Somehow they skipped over the Old Testament. Somehow they did not read 3/4 of the Bible. Somehow they didn't read the last chapter of the Bible. Somehow they did not read the preaching of Jesus. Somehow they did not see sin as God sees sin. But I didn't come here to preach that. That's not my message. I came here to tell you tonight that in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. Amen. Oh, I thank God for that. Because all these things that I preached on tonight, I see myself. And I said, woe is me. Because I'm a son of Adam. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Hey, my works are evil too. How many times did I open my mouth, see? How many times I said something? How many idle words have I spoken? How many times have I refused to believe? But there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For my Bible says, look in John in chapter 3 again. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And oh, brethren, if you missed out on last night and seeing the sufferings of Christ and what He did for us, He did it for sinners. Amen. He didn't die on the cross for righteous men. He died on the cross for sinners. Amen. He died on the cross for Adam's sons and Adam's children and Adam's daughters. He died on the cross for those that have done evil deeds. He died on the cross for those that have opened their mouths wide and condemned themselves. He died on the cross even for unbelievers. That blood was spilled on the cross of Calvary for sinners. And thank God somebody came to me with a Bible in their hands 24 years ago and opened up the promise book of God and said, God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that if you would believe on Him, you should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Oh, isn't that precious?
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? Does that not bring joy to your heart that God did not come into the world to condemn the world? That when God took upon Himself flesh and became a man and a servant and a minister, He came down not to spy out the sins of man, not to look upon the sins of man. He came not to condemn. He came to save. Oh, hallelujah.
Amen.
And yet, because I dare, and some of you dare, to toll God at His word. He said here that whosoever, hello, whosoever means you. That's you. That's me. Whosoever. Isn't that what it says? That if Brent Riggs believeth on Him, Brent Riggs should not perish, but Brent Riggs should have everlasting life. That's what Jesus said. Jesus said that. He said, Brent, if you believe on me, I'll give you everlasting life.
Amen.
And yet that night when I got off my knees 24 years ago in the basement of my home in Ypsilanti, Michigan, and I knew that God was faithful to His word and He saved my soul. And the next morning I got up to tell my mom and dad I have everlasting life. All of a sudden I found out not everybody was a believer. All of a sudden I found out this world wanted to condemn me. But there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Oh, Daddy, He brought up all my sins. You saved? What, do you think you're a saint now? What, do you think you're holy now? You've never been to church before. What are you talking about? What do you mean you're saved? You have everlasting life. Who are you? I know you. Well, He did. He sure did. He was my father. He knew me. He knew my down settings. He knew my uprisings. He knew me on my good days and my bad days. He didn't know everything. I might not be standing here today if he knew everything. But he knew me. And who was I to say that, hey, I'm saved. I have everlasting life. You know, that's offense to this world. And the first thing, because they don't have everlasting life, see. And they're just confused as all get out. How in the world could you have everlasting life? You're just dirty, rotten as I am. You see, they just don't know Christ yet. They just haven't quite figured out, and they haven't seen that God came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. They still got in the back of their head, thanks to religion, hello. They got in the back of their head that God only saves good people. You don't believe me? Go out there and ask anybody on the street. Go, next time you're going through the grocery line, and that lady says, will there be anything else for you? Said, yes, ma'am, I have one question for you. What do I got to do to go to heaven? You know what she's going to say? After she picks herself up off the ground, you know, she's going to say, you got to be good. I walked in, I preached up in Kentucky, and I was looking for the street, and I went into one of these, I wasn't a stop and go, it was something else up in Kentucky, and I went into this place, and I said, then the lady said, can I help you? I said, I hope so. I said, can you tell me how to get to heaven? What? I said, I'd like to know how to get to heaven. Do you know how to get to heaven? I'm sorry, sir, but I don't understand. I said, all right, well, can you tell me how to get to this street then? Oh, I can tell you how to do that, see. But after I conversed with her, I said, well, now, seriously, can you tell me how to get to heaven? Well, I suppose that you have to be good, see. And that's the answer they're going to give you every time. And so when you go up to somebody and say, hey, I have everlasting life, and I'm going to heaven, and they said, no, you're not any good. Am I right?
Right.
If I'm right, then say a good amen.
Amen.
That's what the word amen means, see. You're right. Huh? Has the world condemned you? Huh? Because they know you, don't they? They've seen your downfalling. They've heard you say some words that you probably should not have said. And yet, my Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
This world has a problem because they like to compare themselves among themselves. And my Bible says that's not why, see. And you know what? I know some people out in this world a whole lot better than I am. We want to, you know, stack them up. Hey, I know some people that have religion and they're more zealous in their religion than I am in Christ sometimes. And that is a shame on me.
Amen.
Shame on me. I know some people that are going to pray five times a day, day in and day out. Huh? Do you pray five times a day, day in and day out? I know some people, they're going to walk long ways to bow down before an image. And I know some other people that have an automobile with 8 horses underneath it. They're going to take them anywhere they want to go, and they won't drive 5 minutes across town to go to church. Hello? That's either an amen or oh, woe is me, see. But they had this problem, see. Well, I'm better than you, and I don't have everlasting life. How in the world could you have everlasting life? And so the world condemns you, and the world condemns me. And suddenly we're the heretics. But my Bible says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
It says they gather themselves together against the souls of the righteous and condemn the innocent blood. But the Lord is my defense, and my God is the rock of my refuge. For he shall stand at the right hand of the poor to save him from those that condemn his soul. That's what the Bible says. When this world condemns me, Jesus is my refuge. Yeah, but you're not righteous. You're right, but Jesus is.
Amen.
And he gave me his righteousness.
Amen, Lord.
But you're not good enough. Oh, you're right. I'm not good enough. But there's one good, that being God. Oh, and he was good for me. Good enough for me. Is he good enough for you? He's the good man. I want you to know that when you stand up and say, hey, I have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, I have everlasting life, their religion is going to come out of the woodwork and point their long finger at you and say, no way. You ever been condemned by religion? Huh? Do you ever have a JW knock on your door? That's a Jehovah's Witness. You ever have a knock on your door? Hello, we'd like to tell you about the kingdom. All right, I'd like to know about this kingdom. I'd like to know about heaven. Only 144,000 are going to go to heaven. Can I be one of those? No, you can't be one of those. Why can't I be one of those? Because that is reserved for the faithful Jehovah's Witnesses. Well, I kind of like to go to heaven. No, no, but if you'd like to go to the kingdom, you can go to the kingdom, but heaven you can't go. I kind of like to have everlasting life. Sorry about that. It's only for 144,000. But doesn't my Bible say, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Does your Bible say that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life?
Yes.
Bill Kincaid, Brother Kincaid's son, Bill Kincaid, without visiting years and years ago, had a young lady come to this church. If I called her name, you'd know her. Her daddy wasn't saved and asked her to go visit her dad. Her daddy was a Jehovah's Witness. We got out there, went to his home, began speaking to him about the gospel, about the Savior, about Jesus Christ. Began talking to his son, and he had his friend over for a barbecue. Maybe it was fajitas. I don't remember. It was a long time ago. But he was out there. It was beautiful weather. Oh, San Antonio, it was beautiful weather at night. It was just beautiful weather. And we were out there talking to him outside, short sleeves on, with a Bible in our hand. Oh, it was just beautiful. Can't do that in Poland. And we sat down and talking to him. And he'd present his arguments, and we'd open the scripture and show him something. And no, that's not what that means. And his neighbor would say, let me see that Bible. And he'd look at, yeah, John, that's what that means. And then we'd read him some other verse. We'd say, no, this is what it means. No, you guys are crazy. And he said, this neighbor would say, hey, let me see that. No, John, that's what that means. That's obvious.
Amen.
You see, his neighbor was honest, and he wasn't. And so we began talking more, and this Jehovah's Witness got irate with us. He lost his cool. I mean, he blew a vow. I mean, he got mad. And I just, you know, sweet, kind old Brent. I'm not sarcastic or anything like that. I just asked him, I said, sir, I don't understand what you're getting upset for. Because you're sending my daughter to hell! And I said, hold the phone there, Doc. I mean, you guys don't even believe in hell. How can that be? Well, I had to get out of there fast because then... Hey, have you ever been... Hey, Jehovah's Witness would condemn you to hell and they don't even believe in hell. See? Hey, did you know the nation of Islam has condemned you to an everlasting hell? You know why? Because Islam has a prophet named Muhammad. And Muhammad has made a declaration and said, God has no son. God does not have a son. My Bible says that God gave His only begotten Son.
Amen.
My Bible says he that has the Son has life.
Amen.
And yet Islam, you got to make a decision tonight. You're going to have to make a decision. If Muhammad is right, what are you doing believing on the name of the Son of God? If I was you and if I was Islam, then I wouldn't sit around here. I wouldn't be hanging around somewhere preaching about the Son of God. I'd at least be sincere in my faith. But you know they'd condemn you to an everlasting hell because you believe in the Son of God. How many of you had to talk to a Mormon? Nice young men or young ladies. Did you ever notice all the Mormons are named Elder? Elder Smith, Elder Jones, Elder... It's really interesting. And then all the girls are named Sister. Did you ever notice that? I said, no, what's your really name? What is your name really? Elder. Okay, Elder 1 and Elder 2. I said, could you tell me how to go to heaven? Yes, if you want to go to heaven, you've got to be baptized in a Mormon temple. Oh, very interesting. Well, I've never seen a Mormon temple in all my life. I think I'm in trouble. Well, if you want to go to heaven, you have to keep all the commandments of God. May I suggest one? How about loving God with all your heart and all your mind and all your soul? That will do. And then I said, well, I'm in trouble. Of course, you're in trouble too. And Elder 1 and Elder 2 were in trouble also.
Amen.
San Antonio have you ever talked to an Adventist? Some of you people are really in trouble. You know what an Adventist believes? He believes every one of you have the sign of the Antichrist on your forehead already. You know why? Because you're going to come back tomorrow morning and meet on a Sunday. You have the sign of the Antichrist. You don't keep the Sabbath day. Therefore, you're condemned. I spoke to an Adventist. He told me that if I wanted to go to heaven, that I had to keep all the commandments. But it's very interesting. When I asked him if he kept all the commandments, because I knew that before he was an Adventist, he was a Roman Catholic. I asked him, well, did you keep the second commandment when you was a Roman Catholic? And that second commandment talking about you're not supposed to bow down before images or make images. He says, no, when I was a Roman Catholic, I didn't keep that commandment. I said, well, then therefore you're condemned by your own words. You said you had to keep all the commandments. Yeah, but that was then. This is now. He says, but I keep the Sabbath day now. I said, oh, do you? I said, now tell me about the Sabbath day. What's supposed to happen on the Sabbath day? You're not allowed to work on the Sabbath day. I said, do you work? Well, I don't have a shovel in my hands or anything like that, and I said, sir, I don't mean any offense. I just want to know if you work. That's all I want to know. Do you work? He said, yeah, I'm a preacher. Well, or a minister. I'm a minister. I said, well, what does this work involve? Well, it involves ministering the Word of God to people, like I'm ministering to you. So you're working right now? Yes. I said, And so you do that 6 days a week and then rest on the Sabbath? And then it finally, you know, hit him. And it's going to hit you in a little bit. See, the Sabbath day is a big day for him. That's when he really ministers. That's when he really works, according to his own word, see. He said, my job is to minister the word, but he wasn't taking the Sabbath day off, see. And Jesus said, by their own mouths they condemned themselves. But you know what? He condemned every one of you here tonight because you don't keep the Sabbath day. Has religion ever stretched out its finger towards you and said, you're condemned? Amen. My Bible says there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. All right now, I don't want to offend anybody. I do not want to offend anybody. That is not my intention. There's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, but I'm going to speak frank with you tonight. This is a Roman Catholic town. I preach the gospel in a Roman Catholic country. I've been doing that for a long time. I deal with Roman Catholic. I love Roman Catholic. I do not want to see any Roman Catholic go to hell. I have prayed for Roman Catholics. I have cried over Roman Catholics. I have witnessed the Roman Catholic. It is my desire that every Roman Catholic come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Amen. I want every Roman Catholic to be in heaven. But I'm going to talk to you frank tonight. John Paul II is the head of the Roman Catholic Church. According to their doctrines, he's Christ on earth. He represents Christ on earth. He's the head of the church. He's got the keys of Peter. You understand what I'm talking about? He says in his doctrine, and I don't know if he's ever said that, I doubt he's ever said it on CNN. I doubt you're ever going to catch him saying this on ABC or NBC or MBC or where all of them chat. I don't think you're going to catch this on cable. But if you read the things that he's written and signed his name to and said that there is nothing objectable in this here book like the Catechism or like the Apologetics of the Roman Catholic Church, if you would read these things, you see, every Roman Catholic priest has to swear allegiance to all of what the forefathers have said. And the Roman Catholic Church never changes its doctrine. That's what they say. You know what they said in some of their doctrine? How many of you here tonight believe that the Word of God is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice?
Amen.
How many of you believe that tonight?
Amen.
Do you know what? John Paul II has therefore condemned you to an everlasting hell. You don't even get to go to purgatory. It's right to hell. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You don't even go to purgatory. Now, a Muslim, he can go to heaven if he's sincere in his faith. If he dies a faithful Muslim, John Paul II has declared in his doctrinal statements that a Muslim can go to heaven if he's sincere in his doctrine, if he's sincere in his faith. How many of you here tonight are sincere in your faith? Do you sincerely believe that the Word of God is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice?
Amen.
But your sincerity don't count. How many here tonight believe that you're saved by grace through faith alone?
Amen.
Did you know that John Paul II and his doctrine? Now don't get mad at me. I didn't make these statements. I did not. I'm just telling you what I've read.
Amen.
Do not get offended at me. Now I know some of you are just a little bit thin skinned. And it's not my intention to offend. I don't want to offend anybody. You understand? I surely don't want you to stone me. I'm allergic to pain. But I want to tell you the truth. John Paul II, the Roman Catholic Church, will condemn you because of some of the beliefs that you have. And yet I read in the paper in Warsaw, Poland, written by a priest, signed his name to it, said atheists can go to heaven if they're sincere in their faith. But I can't go to heaven if I'm sincere in mine. I don't understand. And so religion condemns. But there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Thank God for that. Look over in John in chapter 8. We're going to see a little picture here. I hope you realize this is Saturday night and everybody stays up late on Saturday nights, right? You stay up late on Saturday night, we're just here having a good time, right? Look down at verse 3. The scribes and Pharisees, that's the religious crowd. The Roman Catholic Church has scribes and Pharisees. Chapter 8 of the Gospel of John and verse 3. Jehovah's Witnesses have scribes and Pharisees. Mormons have scribes and Pharisees. Adventists have scribes and Pharisees. And no doubt there are scribes and Pharisees sitting here tonight. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken adultery in the very act. Mark it down. In the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down with his fingers and wrote on the ground as though he heard them not. And so when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even on the last. And Jesus left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. And when Jesus lifted up himself and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? And she said, No man, Lord. Jesus said unto her, Here it is. No sweeter song than this. Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Now I read this chapter because these are religious people. Religious people out of this church. Religious people out of the Roman Catholic Church. Religious people out of the Protestant Church. You know what I'm talking about. You've met Pharisees in your life. You met Sadducees in your life. You met this religious crowd stick their finger out at you and said, you're condemned. Twist the doctrines of the Bible all around to condemn you. Maybe I've done it myself. Maybe I've been in the shoes of a Pharisee. Religion condemns, my friend. My Bible says over in Ezekiel chapter 22, when God sought for a man to stand in the gap, it says there that the priest made no difference. That's the problem today. Religion makes no difference. You ask a Roman Catholic today if he has everlasting life, and if he's honest, he'll say, I do not have everlasting life. You ask the average Protestant out here today, ask him if he has everlasting life, and he's honest and he's upright and he tell you the truth, he says, I do not have everlasting life. You ask a Jehovah's Witness the next time he knocks on your door, if he is guaranteed everlasting life, and if he's honest and sincere, he'll tell you he does not have everlasting life. You ask a Muslim if he's assured of everlasting life, he says, I'm not assured of it. I have no guarantee. But those that have believed on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, my Bible says we have a guarantee. He says over in 1 John in chapter 5, he says, these things I've written unto you that you may know that you have eternal life. Amen. And God cannot lie. And yet when we stand up and say, God in His mercy had grace upon me and given me everlasting life, religion gets his finger out of the pocket and says, you're condemned. Nobody can have everlasting life. And yet Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. I'd just like to say that religious people have a habit of condemning others. I'd like to confess that sometimes I've been very religious. Sometimes I have found myself in the place of these Pharisees by twisting of doctrine, by saying the right word. I've caught somebody and condemned them. Now, they caught this woman in the very act. That man just might haul off and whop you in the face, see? And so they didn't want to do that, so they want to pick on the weak one. Look over in Matthew in chapter 23. Isn't it good to have a Bible?
Amen.
Isn't it more fun turning the pages of the Bible than a newspaper? I mean, I enjoy it. I like turning the pages of the Bible. I mean, isn't it better to be sitting here and hearing the Word of God? I mean, you could be sitting in a bar somewhere and hearing just this noise blurting out at you. Huh? There's some guy sitting next to you blowing smoke in your face. Nobody's smoking in here. Got some guy spilling his martini all over you. See? You could be sitting here getting washed by the Word of God.
Amen.
What chapter did I say? Good thing you guys are listening. Now what chapter verse did I say? I haven't said yet. Verse 15. Now here's Jesus speaking. Somebody says you ought to be more like Jesus. Alright? Woe unto you. Woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. That's a religious crowd. Don't just point your finger at the Roman Catholics. That's including us too, see? For you compass sea and land to make one proselyte. And when he is made, you make him a twofold more the child of hell than yourself. And so Jesus said, woe unto the religious crowd. Had them two young ladies, Mormons, come to our home. I said, how long are you here for? And they said, 2 years. I said, you really love the Polish people, right? Oh, yes. And you're willing to give 2 years of life for the Polish people. Why not three? They couldn't answer that question. I said, but let me ask you something. Do you have assurance of everlasting life? No. I said, would you tell me frankly, please, would you just be honest with me? What hope do you expect to give these people? I mean, I don't see any difference.
Amen.
I mean, you have no assurance. I mean, you're doing your best. I mean, you're trying and you're hoping and you're wanting and you're desiring, but that ain't no different than all these other people out here. They're trying and wanting and hoping and doing the same thing you're doing. I don't see any difference except the name you call yourselves. No difference. I don't see any difference between religions. All religions are the same. They all teach you have to work your way to heaven. They all teach you can't have eternal life now. Nobody knows. Nobody's condemned. Nobody has everlasting life. You can't know. You just got to wait. And God decides it all at the end. Now, they use different words and different vocabularies, but you mark it down at the end. They're saying the same thing, see? Now, some of you like to argue with Jehovah's Witnesses, and have at it. Have at it. I've talked to more Jehovah's Witnesses till I'm blue in the face. I've argued over the deity of Christ, trying to show that Jesus Christ is the very Son of God, and that He's God in the flesh, Emmanuel. Their programs are not going to believe it, see? But I changed my approach. I said, let me ask you something. Do you have everlasting life? I'd like to have everlasting life. I'd like to go to heaven. What do I got to do? And they said, well, you got to do this. Well, I've never done that. You got to go and you got to preach and you got to knock on doors and you got to do. I said, well, maybe I've done some of that, but I said, what else I got to do? Well, you have to keep all the commandments of Jesus. And they start reading some of the commandments of Jesus. I said, boy, I failed on that one. I didn't quite make that one. Boy, I sure didn't do that one. Now what? Well, you got to try harder. I said, look, I've already tried. Now what? They don't have an answer, Steve. They don't have an answer. As long as you pretend that you're keeping the commandments, well, then you're all right. You're in the same boat they are in. But as soon as you stand up and be honest with yourself before God and man and say, look, I tried to keep the Ten Commandments, but I failed. Now what kind of hope are you going to give me? They don't have an answer. You can tell that to a Roman Catholic. You can tell that to a Protestant. You can tell that to a Mormon. You can tell that to a Muslim. You can tell that to a Buddhist. You can tell that to a Hindu. You can tell that to atheists. They have no hope for you. But my Bible says there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. He is my ark. And when he put the door in the side of that ark, I went in. And the Bible says Brent found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And if you went in, you found grace in the eyes of the Lord. It wasn't. What do you think God saved all them animals? What do you think? What do you think them two giraffes were more faithful than all them other giraffes? You think them two lions that walked up that plank under that ark? They kept every word of God? And all them other lions, they didn't keep every word? What do you think? Them lions and them giraffes and them dogs and them cats and them unicorns and all them other things that God had on that ark, God saved them because they were in the ark.
Amen.
He did not save them because they were better specimens than the other ones. They were saved because they were in the ark. And my friend, if you're in Christ Jesus, you're saved.
Amen.
You mark it down, there were probably some better men outside that ark than was in the ark. Yeah. But what was the difference? Noah was inside the ark and his family was inside the ark. Where are you tonight? You say, well, I'm a better man than you are, Brent. I concede. If you pulled open my skull and could look into some of the thoughts I've had, you'd know you're a better man than me. If you'd had a tape recorder in some of the places I've been and overheard some of the things that I said and done, you'd know you're better. I already concede. See, I surrender. You won. You're right. You're better than me. Let me ask you, are you better than Jesus? You see, you want to compare yourself to me, you win every time. But Jesus didn't come to save good people. He came to save sinners.
Amen.
And there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Amen. And thank God I'm in Christ Jesus. Where are you at? Look over in Luke in chapter 9. Luke in chapter 9. Don't you just like using and thumbing the Bible? That's how you find out what God's will is. down in verse 51. And it came to pass, when the time was come that he should be received up, he steadfastly set his face to go to Jerusalem. And he sent messengers before his face. And they went, thank God for that, and entered in the village of the Samaritans to make ready for him. Hey, have you been there before? God said, go, and you went. And they did not receive him, because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw that, this is the sons of thunder here, they said, Lord, will thou that we command fire to come down from heaven and consume them even as Elias did? But he turned and rebuked them and said, ye know not what manner of spirit you are of. For the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went to another village. Now when I read this, I have to say, woe is me. Because I kind of like the way James and John preach. From way back even before I saved, I heard that Lutheran minister get up there and preach hellfire and damnation. I said, boy, that's my kind of preaching. I gotta find me a church. Preach it like that. I like that kind of preach. First time I came around that corner and Oak Knoll, her brother Lindell preaching. I said, I gotta hear this man. I said, I like that kind of preaching. Now he's getting kind of old and soft and kind and sweet and But oh man, I remember when he used to preach. Old grandma, she was telling us the other day, she says, oh man, I remember when he used to really preach. I mean, the younger he was, the more he used to preach. I think through the years, he's learned a lot of grace. I'm saying he's one of the finest preachers this planet's ever seen. And I love that man. And I think he's a good preacher, even if he's getting old. I love you guys. But do you understand what I'm saying? I kind of like the way James and John preach. Some of you tonight, have you ever been condemned by a Christian? Huh? You know, it's one thing to be condemned by that religious crowd, but have you ever been condemned by a Christian? Well, boy, that hurts, don't it? Now, I understand James and John, because I've been in their shoes, see? I've gone into these places, and they didn't, you give everything you got. You understand what I'm saying tonight? You give everything you got. You got all this zeal inside of you. You say, boy, I'd like these people to know about my Savior. And you think you got it in your mind. Surely they're going to believe on Jesus. Surely they'd not reject this message that believe on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. Surely they're going to accept my Jesus. Surely they're going to take my Savior. Surely they're going to see his blood spilling on the cross of Calvary. Surely they're going to receive him. And then you get there and they don't want him. And they don't want you. And all of a sudden, all them verses, them Old Testament verses coming down. And I remember one of them old prophets said, if I be a man of God, let fire come down from heaven and destroy thee and thy 50. And he said, oh God, is that what you want us to do? I mean, you've given us power to heal the sick. Would you give us power to call down fire from heaven? Huh? Some of you been there before? Huh? Hello? That's either amen or woe is me. Some of you been out on some of you street preachers. I mean, you're some tough character. You're the James and Johns. Been out on the street preaching. You're out there holding the torch for Jesus. But you ever been in the wrong spirit? Our message is a message of peace. You see, God sent not His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Hey, I'm talking to myself tonight. I'm talking to you tonight because some of you guys are the strongest preachers I know. But let me ask you, with what spirit are you preaching? There's nothing wrong with preaching straight and hard. Jesus preached straight and hard, but He preached from a heart of charity. There's nothing wrong with being honest with people. There's nothing wrong with speaking straightforward, but they know if it comes from a spiteful attitude or if it comes from a heart of charity. Now let me ask you, when you stand up there in front of the animal, how are you preaching? You got your feathers back and your shoulders back and you're somebody and you know the truth and they don't? Are you looking down your nose at them? Hey, you been there before? What was me? Huh? These dumb idiots, what are they doing bowing down before an image? I ain't never bowed down before no image! I can understand something, you know, someone never done it before, you know, getting all haughty. But some of you bow down before the image and you got your feathers stuck up like you never done it before. Am I talking to you tonight? Because I'm hitting home here. This is what I saw a long time ago in Mexico. God did not send His Son in the world to condemn the world, but that His Son, but that through Him we might be saved. Do you hear what I'm saying? I understand James and John. I understand all about zeal. And I understand the frustration when you go into a town and they don't want you. And I know what it's like to get spit on. I know what it's like to get stoned. And I don't know what it's like to be misunderstood. And I know what it's like to feel a bottle cracking across your body. I know what it's like to feel a thing going across the back of your head. I know what it's like to have your name put in the paper and lied about. You want revenge. And you want to take some blood too. And sometimes you think, boy, if I had a gun, I'd just, you know. But Jesus said, you know not what spirit you're of. And we got to go back to Calvary and remember our Savior standing there taking the spit. He didn't deserve it. He did no wrong. We got to go back to Calvary and remember Him putting them nails into His hands willingly. We got to go back to Calvary as they went to get the scourge out and they plowed on His back. We got to go back to Calvary as they buffeted His face. We have to go back here and remember the Son of Man has not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Would to God that this church, that this preacher, that these pastors, that you believers would learn to preach charity. We want a revival. Would to God that He would fill us with charity. That's the greatest thing. Now don't misunderstand me. Do not misunderstand. Love is not like the world talks about love. And sometimes charity requires some hard things. But you know when it comes out of a heart of love, it's taken. Sometimes I had to take my boys back into the room and said, you got a whooping coming. They knew I loved them. They knew I cared for them. It wasn't easy to do. It was a necessary thing to do, but it came from charity. And sometimes this world needs to be rebuked. But if it comes out of a spiteful heart and a vengeful heart, it's going to be received as such and rejected as such. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight?
Amen.
Christ Jesus came not in this world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. I could tell you about the devil. Has the devil ever condemned you? Well, let me tell you something. I'm going to let you in on a secret. He's a liar. My Bible says, Jesus said He was a liar from the very beginning. Has the devil ever come up to you? Some of you believers should, and I want to talk to you straight. Some of you believers, you don't want to witness anymore because the devil came up to you and said, you're not worthy. Isn't that right? You got into some sin, and the devil said, you're not worthy. Who are you to preach? Well, you see, you forgot something. You never were worthy.
Amen.
Not at the beginning and not at the end. You're never going to be worthy. Jesus is worthy. Amen. And if you're preaching yourself, you better shut that thing down, see? But if you're preaching Christ Jesus and Him crucified, He's worthy. And you better not believe the devil. He's a liar. He's been a liar from the very beginning. And He's the accuser of the brethren. Don't believe His lie. Now you want to fight the devil? You go to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. There's power in the blood. And He said if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. You want to whoop the devil? You take that verse to heart. The devil's a liar. But I tell you one that's sometimes even harder to fight than the devil. Look over in 1 John and chapter 3. Look down in verse 20. 1 John and chapter 3 and verse 20. For if our heart condemn us, has your heart ever condemned you? Has your heart ever said, who are you to preach the gospel? Who are you to stand behind that pulpit and preach the gospel? Who are you to stand up and proclaim the virtues of Christ when you're so invirtuous? Who are you to stand up and preach faithfulness when you're so unfaithful? Who are you to preach charity when you do not have charity? Who are you to preach Righteousness, when you're so unrighteous, has your heart ever come up and condemned you? I said, has your heart ever swollen up inside of you and said, you're condemned? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Thank God for that. For if our heart condemn us, don't you know David felt condemned? When old Nathan the prophet sticks his finger in his face and said, thou art the man. And he was the man. He deserved to be condemned. Has your heart condemned you? He said, God is greater than our heart. Did you hear what I said tonight?
Amen.
God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. Don't you know, old Peter, his heart come up with him and condemned him and said, how can I ever preach the gospel again? I denied my Savior. I denied His holy name. I cursed and swore before Him in His presence. What can I do now? He says, He knoweth all things. That's what Peter said at the very end. He said, Lord, You know that I love Thee. You know. I don't have any proof. I can't prove it before You, but You know that I love Thee. He knoweth all things. Beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then we have confidence toward God. I tell you what happens when your heart condemns you. You lose your confidence. Isn't that true? Well, rightfully so. That's the way it ought to be. But I'm telling you, we don't trust in our heart. Our hearts are deceitful and desperately wicked. We don't trust in our heart. We trust in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
And He's greater than our hearts. And He's promised to give us a new heart. He's promised to give a new mind. He's given us the Spirit of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And this is what Paul said after Romans in chapter 7. He said, that which I want to do, I don't do. And that what I shouldn't do, that I do. And he says, woe is me, woe is me. Then he says in Romans in chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah, that's our victory banner, brethren. Can you get a hold of that verse? Down in verse 34 he said, and who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died. And when religion comes to you and shakes its long pointed finger in your face and said, you're condemned, it's Christ that died. When this world comes and compares itself among themselves and says, hey, I'm better than you, it's Christ that died. Hey, when them overzealous Christians come and condemn you and condemn you and condemn you, I want you to know it's Christ that died.
Amen.
When that old slew foot himself comes up and whispers in your ear and said, you're not worthy, I want to know it's still Christ that died.
Amen.
And when that old heart of yours swells up and understands your sin and knows your sin and your conscience gives you no peace, I want you to know it's Christ that died.
Amen.
You can serve the Lord Jesus Christ because it's Him that died and there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ. Oh, would to God we'd have a revival. We got a hold of that. Some of you are not serving God anymore because one of these things that condemned you. Isn't that the truth? Some of you tonight are using an excuse. I can't serve God anymore. I fell into terrible sin. Maybe you have. Don't justify your sin. That's foolishness. Don't make any excuses for your sin. That's just stupidity. Do you hear what I'm saying tonight? I'm not trying to justify sin. God never justifies sin. Never. Sin is always condemned. But let me tell you, it's Christ that died. He condemned sin in the flesh. I want to read Romans chapter 8 and verse 34. I want you to read it with me. I studied enough languages. I know that if you want to memorize something, you hear it, you look at it, and you say it. Isn't that right? You hear it, you look at it, and you say it. For therefore we should read verse 1 together. I want you to read it with me. Let's read it together. Out loud. There is therefore... Let's start over. Are you ready? Everybody got it? I'm sorry, I said 34. I meant verse 1. 8 in chapter 1. You see it, you look at it, and you say it out loud. Do you see it? Are you looking at it? Let's say it out loud. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Let's do it one more time. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Thank God for that. I'd like everybody to stand up and every head bowed and every eye closed, please. I think there's an old song in that hymn book somewhere saying there's room at the cross for you. I'd like to sing that tonight. Some of you ladies that can sing, I'd like you to come up here and sing. We're not going to sing as a congregation, but some of you ladies and some of you brothers that know how to sing, you've got the gift to sing, I'd like you to come up here and sing that for me. Would you do that for me? Some of you ladies that can sing or some of you men that can sing, I can't carry a tune in a bucket, but I'd like you to come up here and sing. There's room at the cross for you. And as these ladies are coming, as these brothers are coming, I'd like every head bowed and every eye closed. I'm going to talk to you. You see, this is an old-fashioned church. We give invitations around here, and I'm going to give you an invitation. I'd like to say, sinner friend, if you don't know that you have eternal life, that you can have eternal life. Christ has already suffered for you. He's already paid the price for you. And He says, come. We're going to sing this old song that says, there's room at the cross for you, even for you. My Christian friend, we're here to have a revival. And some of you have gotten slack in your service to God, and your conscience has pricked you, rightfully so. But I'd like to remind you tonight, there's therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. And I'd like you to come back to the old rugged cross and remember what Christ did for you and renew your faith and confess your sin and get up and serve God again with confidence, because God is greater than your heart. If God has spoken to your heart, I want you to get out of your seat. You're not even sitting, but I want you to get out and get in the aisle and walk down here. And I want you to get in front of these chairs. And I want you to kneel down. And I want you to confess your sins. And I want you to believe God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. If you're not saved here tonight and you'd like to know how to be saved, how you can walk out these doors eternally saved, I'd like to tell you how you can be saved. I'd like to pray with you. I'd like to tell you how you can call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this evening and walk out assured you have everlasting life. That promise for you, my friend. He said, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He promised, whosoever cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Oh, my friend, if God's spoken to you, as these ladies sing now, won't you come? He was on the cross. He died for you. Has God spoken to your heart this evening? Do you hear it? Here's come one. Is there another? Is there another? Has God spoken to your heart tonight? Has God spoken to your heart tonight? Has your heart condemned you? Has the devil, the old slewfoot, condemned you? Has religion condemned you? Has this whole world condemned you? Maybe a friend, a father, a neighbor has reached out and condemned you. I want you to know there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus tonight. Have you been defeated by your own conscience? Take the victory of the cross. Oh, there's room at the cross for you. Are you a sinner, never known the grace of God? Has God spoken to you tonight? Won't you come? There's room at the cross for you. God loves you. He wants to save your soul and change your life. He wants to give you peace that passeth all understanding. He wants to give you everlasting life. Won't you come? Has God, the Holy Spirit, spoken to you tonight? Just come right down here, get on your knees, and call out to God. He'll welcome the sinner. He's already suffered for you, my friend. He'll welcome you. He's already died for you. He'll welcome you. He'll not cast you out. Religion may reject you. This preacher might not love you as I should, but Jesus Christ loves you. Oh, and He wants to see you saved. He wants you to live the victorious Christian life. Has God spoken to your heart tonight? There's room. There's room at the cross for you. One more stanza. Some have already come. Some are praying. Some are going to get the victory tonight. Has God spoken to you tonight? Do what God's told you to do. Confess your sin. Pride is a terrible thing. Humble yourself tonight before God. Won't you come to Him? There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room for you, my friend. Won't you come? Oh, Father. Father in heaven, I think that some of us have seen our sins tonight. And Lord, I pray You'd have mercy upon us. Lord, some of us tonight have been in the place of the Pharisee. And Lord, we've condemned when we should have given mercy. Lord, some of us tonight have stood in the shoes of James and John and been partakers of their sin and their overzealousness. Lord, I confess that's me. Father, tonight there's some that have stood in the shoes, maybe of the adulteress, maybe of the man condemned in sin. They've got no peace. God, I pray that I might know that there's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Lord, if there be any lost soul here tonight, I pray that even though they didn't come during this invitation, they might grab some old preacher's hand before they leave this building tonight, and they might say, you know, I'm just not sure about salvation. I sure would like to be saved. Lord, I pray they'd be saved. Lord, I'm not convinced every believer has done what you told them to do. I pray you'd work on their hearts. I pray you'd give them more grace. I pray you'd revive this church. Oh God, I pray you have mercy upon us. Look not upon us in thy wrath.